Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
How many of you guys are doing what I'm doing? Watching the Olympics. Comfy on the couch. Favorite snacks on one side. Favorite drinks on the other. Feet on the coffee table. That is awesome. Oh man, did you see that, David? We gotta go to the gym. I mean, we gotta get our tennis game back on, and we gotta hit this, man. We gotta hit this. Can I get an amen in the house? We watch what other people do, and we see it on social media. We see it on television. We see the quote written on the internet. We see the blog. And we're like, I don't understand why I can't get my moment in the sun. I mean, I work hard too. Except for a lot of things are happening in the dark. You see, if you're a Twitter person or if you're a note taker here at Faith Church, write this down. It's not what you see in the light. It's what happens in the dark that makes us successful. Amen. We all want the light moments. We all want the spotlight moments. But the speaking that happens here on the weekend, it's not the 30 minutes of speaking. It's the 20 hours of preparation that lead to the 30 minutes. It's almost 1 hour per minute to put something out so that people can be fed. Right? It's not the moment at the party eating off the buffet table. How many of you are thankful for the buffet table at the party? It's the shopping and the preparation and the cooking in the kitchen and the setting of the table. It's not the 37 seconds that it takes to open the Christmas presents. It's how many of you have already bought Christmas presents? I'm like so stoked. I bought MJ's birthday present in November. I bought MJ's Christmas present. I bought Patricia's Christmas present. I got like 5 Christmas presents bought and I almost had a party. I was like, Christmas is halfway done. It's not the preparation. It's not the moment of glory. It's the preparation that nobody sees. Why are you bringing up all the hard work? Because you think you're stuck in obscurity right now. And you think there's no end to the obscurity. You think you're in a dark. And you think nobody notices, and you think nobody sees. And guess what? You might be right. But there's somebody that does see everything. And he's watching you down there saying, what are they doing? And how are they doing? And we're probably thinking, I want my chance to do something great for God or great in life, but I don't think I can do it here. So I was eating lunch at this little cafe that David and I like to go to. Actually, it was breakfast. It's this little crepe place. It's at West Palm Beach. And we're just sitting there eating. And I look over kind of in this alley, and I notice this plant growing in the middle of downtown West Palm Beach in the middle of the concrete jungle. And it struck me so odd that I had to get out my phone and take a picture. So I have a picture of this plant. And as you can see, there's the concrete sidewalk, and there's the asphalt alley, and there should be no plant there. There's no planter there. And I thought, well, you can't even really see what this thing is growing out of. So I took a picture of the root of this plant. And check out where this gorgeous plant, I sent you the wrong picture. Did I send you a picture of the root? No? Okay, I will send you that. But I took a close-up picture of the root. And there is a crack about this big between the building and the asphalt. And there is a root about this big that slims itself down to fit in there. And there are all these other roots that just kind of go and they puddle on the asphalt. You see, the plant that is that gorgeous, if it was planted along the entrance to the church, if it was planted along the entrance to Six Flags, if it was planted along the entrance, we wouldn't notice it with all the other plants. The reason that plant got noticed is because it bothered to grow where nowhere else would grow. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. Are you picking up? Are you starting to get a glimpse of what I'm putting down? So God says to me as I see that plant, he says, bloom where you're planted. And I said, oh, like the weeds in my driveway. How many of you try and grow a nice lawn? You know, you put fertilizer on it, you try and pull the weeds, and there's brown spots in the grass. It seems like the part I try to grow is brown spots and weeds. However, in my driveway, there's this cement, and there's these, like, X's in the cement, right, that, like, keep it, the blocks, and those blocks are green and lush and gorgeous. And I don't do anything to those except try and pull them out, and as soon as I pull them out, 3 days later, pff, they are back and beautiful. That's how life feels sometimes, but God says, no, don't think about that. I want you to bloom. Everybody say, me. I want you to bloom where you're planted. And I'm the kind of person, I ask a million questions when God asks something or he puts something out there for me. And I'm like, bloom, what does bloom mean? Bloom where you're planted. Well, that's almost like three things. It's almost like bloom where you're planted. Where am I planted? Gosh, God, I've got questions. I want to know about blooming. I need to start Googling planting. I need to start Googling about where. And I ask weird questions about everything. Like, if vegetarians eat vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? No, there's more in my head. If corn oil is made of corn, what is baby oil made of? Right? These things kind of get in my head. And I'm thinking about bloom where you're planted. And that's when God started kind of revealing these things to me. And blooming is an action that is done by us. That's the part that we're in control of. How many of you like to be in control? I like to be in control. How many of you like to drive the car if the car is going somewhere? You're the control freaks in the room. That's all right. I'm with you. The really cool part about me and my husband is we're both control freaks. And so we have resolved that one. He drives and I don't look. So we stay married. It's so cool. Blooming is the action that is done by us. Say, that's me. Where you are. Where you are is a place. Where you are is a place. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. And planted is not done by us at all. That's the part that is out of our control. How many of you had control of exactly where you were born? That was done for us, where we exist, the city we came into, the country we came into, the time we came into. All of those things are out of our control. And we can decide the blooming part. We can decide, I'm in this place. It might be like that plant. I might be stuck between a building, some concrete, and an asphalt. Conditions might be horrendous, but we can decide if we're going to allow that to stop us or if we're going to allow that to show us off to where people take what would be normal somewhere else. But in these conditions, that is spectacular. I don't know how that happened. Thousands of people are going to be looking at that plant. Why? Because that plant went ahead and grew where it was planted. Tap your neighbor and say, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. It's kind of like the West Palm Beach campus. As I was sitting there, I was thinking about the West Palm Beach campus, and I'm like, you know, we've only got one Sunday morning service. I guess we'll grow. It's the beginning of summer. You know, I don't know if it's going to happen this year because, you know, summer crowds, everybody goes on vacation. Nobody comes back till like October, and, you know, I don't know if it can happen. And I decided in that moment, kind of hear how you just kind of give yourself an out and you kind of just shimmy down. Well, I don't think everybody else won't. And we take these little side steps back. And I felt that bloom where you're planted. And we went ahead and stepped up and said, you know what? We're not going to let summer get in our way. We're going to go ahead and full court press. We're going to go ahead and reach out to the community. We're going to pretend it's fall and that everybody wants to come to church. And we're going to do church and give all our energy just like everybody's coming. And do you know what deciding to bloom does? We're starting our second service here in the summertime in the West Palm Beach campus here in about 3 weeks. Everybody say, I'm deciding to bloom where I'm planted. So let's just handle the control freak part of us. The part we don't have control of is where we are planted, right? You just got born in 1970. Don't you even try and guess what year. So let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 17, verses 22 and 23. It says, thus said the Lord God, I myself. Who says this? thus says the Lord God. So the Lord God is saying this. And he says, I, the Lord God, I'll take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and I will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of the young twigs a tender one, and I myself, who's the Lord God, I myself will plant it. So who's going to plant it? So were you an accident? No, because who planted you? The Lord God. Why did he plant it? So he not only tells us that he planted, he not only tells us, again, that how he's doing it, here he's going to tell us why. He's planted that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of every sort will nest. I want to let you know today, no matter who your mama is, no matter who your daddy is, no matter if they only met once for that one night, no matter if they gave you up for adoption, no matter if they planned for you with fertility drugs for 27 years, no matter if you're adopted, no matter if you don't know who your parents are, no matter the circumstances of your birthplace into this world, I want to let you know something for absolutely sure. And do you know what that is? You were intentional. God in heaven planned for you. God in heaven planted you in this neighborhood, in this city, and in this time. You were born for such a time as this. And when we think of living 100 years ago without air conditioning and plumbing, say amen. Amen. But we look around in these crazy times, right? And we're like, I don't know why you put me here. Or you think about what neighborhood you were born in, or where you were born, or how you were born, or what color you were born, or what gender you were born. And you might think, God, I don't understand the why behind where you put me. Sometimes the place that we have been put looks ugly. The place that plant was looked ugly. Concrete, asphalt, brick wall, alley. There's nothing beautiful about the where. You might be the beauty that comes into the ugly place. You are intentionally beautiful in the ugly place. God has put you there to bloom and bring glory to him. You see, you weren't meant to be on the side. You weren't meant to be normal. You weren't meant to be one of 2,700 widgets like everything else. You were meant to be salt and light in this world. You were meant to be flavorful. You were meant to be different. You were meant to shine like a light on a hill. God says, I'm putting them where people are going to notice that they're different. Somebody give God a good amen. But everybody might be thinking, well, but it looks like I'm at the wrong company. It looks like I'm in the wrong family. I don't even look like anybody in my family. It looks like I'm in the wrong part of town. And that reminds me of an engineer that died and went to heaven. He goes up to heaven and he gets to the pearly gates and he says, I'm ready to get in, St. Peter. St. Peter checks his dossier and says, excuse me, I don't have an engineer on my list today, so you must be in the wrong place. So he goes down to the gates of hell and he said, hi, I'm here to check in. Devil says, come on in, everybody's welcome here. Comes on in and the engineer is immediately dissatisfied with the conditions of the room. Any engineers in the house today? He says, oh, this isn't going to do it all. I'm going to design an air conditioning system, going to put this in. We're going to design a plumbing system. We're going to get some flushing toilets. We're going to put some escalators in this place. And, you know, within just a few months, he has hell working like a top. Well, God looks down and sees all the action, and he calls up the devil, and he says, hey, devil, he's got a bad connection. He must be on Verizon. All the Verizon people are like, oh. He's like, hey, what's going on down there? He's like, we got an engineer. We have flushing toilets, escalators, air conditioning. It's incredible. God says, no, 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 that was a mistake. All the engineers go to heaven, and all the engineers in the house are now cheering. All the engineers come to heaven. You got to send him back up. Devil says, no way, not sending him back up. God says, I'll sue you. Devil starts laughing. It's like, what attorney you got up there? You guys want one more? Okay. Okay, so there's a guy in New York City, right? And so he's just walking around, and he's about 80 years old. He goes to cross the street. He's like two steps from getting on the curb, and a bus hits him. Oh, he's like, I need a priest. And everybody's looking around. There's no priest. I need a priest. his last breath, I need a priest. No priest, no priest. Finally, a little Jewish man comes out and he said, sir, excuse me, Mr. Policeman, I'm not a priest, but I've lived behind a Catholic church, St. Mary's, for 50 years. Maybe I could give the man some comforting words. I've heard their prayers every night. And he's like, yes, yes, please help him, please help him. So he goes over, he grabs the man's hand and solemnly prays, B6, I-29, N-34, G-32. Bingo! Everybody say, wrong place. Wrong place, wrong place, wrong place. When things are in the wrong place, they look weird. They get noticed, and sometimes people will look weird at you because you look like you're in the wrong place. They might not even like it if you decide to bloom, but God has intentionally put us where we are. Say, I'm in the right place, whether it looks like it or not. So here's Jeremiah 29. If you feel like you've been in the wrong place, I want you to write down those last scriptures, Ezekiel 17, and this is Jeremiah 29. Verse 4 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of all Israel. So again, God qualifies who's talking here. God says, this is me talking, y'all. Pay attention. It says, to all who were carried away captive, whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So he's saying, okay, all y'all, you left your home and you went to a foreign country and it looks like you're captives, and I want to let you know I sent y'all there. Now, they didn't go away captive to be slaves. They went to be captives in this place. But look at the assignment God has given them, even in their captivity, even in this place that doesn't look right for them. God has a plan. And in verse 5, he says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives, begot sons and daughters. Take wives for your son. Give your daughters a husband so they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. You see, God has a plan for you. Even if it looks like you're a captive, and even if it looks like you've been laid off, even if it looks like you've gotten a bad diagnosis, and even if you look like the odd man out, even if it looks like you're in a land that you're not supposed to be, and you look around and it looks like a financial desert, I'm here to tell you something today, and that is this. Jeremiah 29:11 is just a couple verses down. It is my life verse. And if you don't have a life verse, feel free to adopt mine. And it's God saying this. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil. To prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. God has a good plan for you, even if the circumstance, the where, looks bad. So God may plant us in an area that looks bad. But why? Why would God do that? Well, in verse 7, it says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace, you will have peace. You see, he might take us because we know him and we're connected to him. And we are going to bloom, and we are going to bloom so big, the place that we have been bloomed is going to be blessed because we are there. Yeah, right. Yeah. Y'all don't have it yet. I'm going to go talk to these people. You might have been put in a dark place intentionally. And you've gone somewhere dark, and you've gone somewhere dry, and you've gone somewhere hard, and you've gone somewhere with bad soil, and nothing there is growing. Nobody is selling. Everybody's getting chemo, and you don't understand why you're there. I'm here to tell you this. God knows that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God knows that you are, when you're rooted and grounded and planted in him. In Psalm 1, it says, be like a palm tree, rooted and grounded and planted, planted by the rivers of living water. When God knows that you are planted in him, and God knows you are planted in his word, God knows you're loving him with every part of yourself. He knows that you're going to be strong in a weak environment. You're going to be the pillar that the people in your company run to. When the company starts to crumble, they're going to be like, the company might be crumbling, but they never crumble. So I need to go talk to them and say, what is going on? And you're like, stay with me, baby, because you know what happens in adversity? I bloom where I'm planted because I'm a king's kid. And that is what he has called me to do. When I pray peace, there's a shield that comes over this place. It's not just about you. Say, it's not just about me. Say, I use my life to change a life. We can bloom where we're planted. We were flying up to New York one time. I don't remember why. It was just me and David. And we got a taxi from the airport. And as we got in the taxi, it was like no taxi I had been in before. And this was even before Uber, so he wasn't competing with anybody. He was just making himself bloom where he was planted. When we got in the taxi, taxis in New York City are not my favorite thing. I am a germaphobe. I shook everybody's hand at greeting time, and then I used hand sanitizer. Just telling on myself, it's not you, it's me. There's hand sanitizer over there. There's hand sanitizer over there. There's hand sanitizer by the men and women's bathroom. I know where the hand sanitizer's at, right? So when I get in a taxi, I'm like this. Because people do gross stuff in taxis in New York City. You don't know about it. And so when I get in his taxi is clean. It is shiny. It is fresh. It smells good. He's got the passenger seat pulled up, and he puts me on that side because my legs are about 27 miles longer than David. He puts David in the other side. Before we take off, he turns around and he says, sir, would you like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal? Ma'am, you need something to read? No, sir. I have water and I have orange juice. Would you like one of either? Well, I'll have a water, thank you. He opens up a cooler on his floorboard and hands us a little bottle of water. How much did that cost him? Probably 27 cents. Then he drives us to our destination. He doesn't cuss. He doesn't turn on loud music. He doesn't call his friend on his cell phone and talk real loud. We get there. He says, was your experience satisfactory today? We loved it. Here's my card. If you need a taxi, you call me. Guess who took a picture of that man's card? Right? He got the biggest tip we ever gave a taxi driver that we did not ask to break several laws to get to an airport in time to make a flight. Those require real big tips. But he got a huge tip. Why? Because he was spectacular in the environment he was in. You see, we're looking for a place to bloom, and it's not about looking for, well, if I can move to here, if I can get promoted to there. We always put our happiness in another place, and I believe God is giving me a message to tell you right now in this exact time. And you're like, are you talking to me? I am talking to you right now. The person who just said, are you talking to me? Yes. God is saying to you at this particular moment, I want to bless you here. I want to bless you now. I want you to bloom because I have need of you where you are. If he moves you and then blesses you, everybody in that place is going to think they can't be blessed there. They're going to think, well, I got to move out of the neighborhood to be blessed. I got to move out of the cancer ward to be blessed. I got to move out of this level of job to be blessed. No, you can be blessed right where you are. God wants you to bloom where you're planted. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to bloom where I planted. We get a little bit down about blooming when we're planted because how many of you are ready to bloom right now? Like you were ready last week. Okay, last month. Let's just be honest, last year. You know, Chris Angel is a magician in Las Vegas, and he's got this show where he does all these really crazy stunts. And I was looking on the internet, and he said, you know, my so-called overnight success actually took 15 years. I can remember the day 15 years ago when I didn't have any money, and the only car I had to drive was my mom's Hyundai. We look at these overnight sensations, these overnight successes, and we get a little bit upset about why hasn't it happened for us yet. I'm telling you right now, give yourself a moment to allow God to do the spectacular. And expect the spectacular to begin to happen. Go ahead. You're like wanting to clap. I don't want to cut you off. And I love it when you say amen back. Do you know why? Because the word amen means so be it. And when any two are agreed, when we're together, when two or three are gathered, he's in the midst of us. And when we put in connection, one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000 to flight. So when I say it and you amen it, you just put two on it in your life. So you've just activated the word in your life. So I'm loving the amens because it means you're grabbing this thing and it's taking root and it's planting in your spirit. The world's largest bloom. I brought a picture of it. This flower is 7 to 12 feet tall. The bloom weighs 170 pounds. It blooms once every 30 to 40 years. And it only blooms for 3 days. But when it blooms, it bloomed in Washington, D.C., July 21st, 2003. People flew from around the nation and stood in lines hours long to see it. What's called that Amorphophallus titanium, and I tried to say that a lot of times, and I promise you I'm still saying it wrong. Why do they gotta make words like that hard anyway? Why can't they just say the big flower? My point, you might take longer to bloom than you want to bloom. But have you ever noticed some of the ugly ducklings in middle school turned out to be the most beautiful swans at the 10-year reunion? I'm here to tell you right now, you might feel like that ugly duckling, but God is doing a work on the inside of you. You see, he doesn't want to get you all the way to that bloom phase and you only to last 3 days like that flower does. When he gets you to that bloom phase, he wants you to be like those tea roses that are outside. And all you have to do is rip the deadhead. And there's a whole message there. Deadhead those suckers. You pull off what is dead in your life and you allow God to prune you. And you keep coming to church and allow God to do work in your life. And you'll just keep blooming and blooming and blooming and blooming all season. There are seasons in your life. And I'm telling you right now, this is your season to bloom. God wants you to bloom. I remember Big Dave is what we called Baby Dave, who is my husband. I don't even call him that. I don't recommend you do. But Big Dave is what we called his dad. And Big Dave was scared to tell his dad that he was going to be a preacher. You see, a lot of us think that there's a problem and there's a reason why we can't bloom right now. His problem and his reason for not being able to bloom was his dad wasn't going to like it. His dad's dad wasn't going to like it. His whole side of the family wasn't going to like it. And he was worried about how that was going to reflect him and his family. He stuttered terribly. He was incredibly shy. If he wanted to talk to people, that's what it sounded like. He's like, I can't do this thing. My dad's not going to like it. I can't talk in front of people. It means I have to meet with people. I don't have the education for this thing, is what we tell ourselves. I mean, I don't have my degree. I probably need a PhD. Did you know that 80% of the world's billionaires with a B do not have a college degree? Wow. The difference between the stumbling blocks and the stepping stones is how we choose to use them. They're the same thing. We can either step on it or let it take us down. That's an amen right there. If you're a Twitter person, that's like stumbling block, stepping stone. I'm stepping on that sucker right now. Amen. Get those thumbs a-going. You're an eagle. You're not a chicken. Chicken flaps around and makes a lot of noise but never gets off the ground. You're not a crow. Crow's going to fight about everything. He's going to fight about the breadcrumb. He's going to fight about the food. He's going to fight about every little thing and make a bunch of noise. He's going to be so busy fighting, he's never going to soar. Oh, you could be the turkey. He makes a bunch of noise too, but he just ends up on the kitchen table. God has created us on wings as eagles. He's created us to soar on the winds of adversity. The very winds that keep the turkey from going far, the very winds that keep the chicken from going anywhere are the very things that catch the wings of the eagle. And he starts to soar through the sky. And they call him thermals come, and the thermals could push him down. He just holds those wings out and lets the winds of adversity carry him higher and higher and higher. God wants to use the adversity in your life to take you higher and make you stronger and give you a broader view. Philippians 4:12, as we get ready to close, it says, I know what it is to be in need. This is Paul. And he says, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or living in want. I'm here to tell you right now, whether you've bloomed yet, whether your bud has been there but closed, whether you've been pushing out of the ground and you're ready to come out, you're like, all I've seen is dark, the light is so close. We can let the adversity stop us, or we can let the adversity make us stronger. What God is doing for you right now is He hasn't given the struggle to you. He's allowing the struggle to strengthen you. There's a thing called the Biosphere 2, and I brought a picture of that too. Biosphere 2 was built as a place to try and make inside environments so people that could live on other planets and other craziness. That's great. Thank you very much. The problem with Biosphere 2 is this. After the trees reached maturity, they were so weak, they started falling down. What they found out is because there was no wind blowing on the trees weren't even strong enough to keep themselves up. That's what I want to share with you today. Don't be upset by the adversity. Know that God will use any adversity that comes your way to make you stronger. I just put on my Instagram the other day, when life gives you lemons, throw it back in life's face and say, I ordered an espresso. Life might try and give you lemons, but it doesn't take God by surprise. God said, we'll take those lemons. And it says in Genesis 50:20, I use all things for your good. You might have intended to harm me, but God will use it for my good. Romans 8:28, God uses all things for my good. And the very scripture after that one, knowing how to abase and knowing how to abound. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can abase, I can abound, I can be in adversity, I can grow on a crack in a sidewalk, and you know what we can sure do? We can bloom where God planted us. How about that? Yeah. I believe right now you're about to bloom in your health. You're about to bloom in your career. You're about to bloom in your thinking, and you're about to bloom in your relationships. I believe right now something is about to break loose, and that's why God's given you a word so you could prepare to bloom, because you might need more water. You might need some more sunshine. You might need some fertilizer. You might be, hey, I'm getting ready to bloom. I got to get set up for this. I might need to let people know I'm about to bloom. A lot of you have been discouraged. You've fought depression. I want to let you know that season's coming to an end, and a season of joy, it is about to bloom in your life. Start expecting to bloom. Know you've been called to bloom. Know that because of where you're at might be the why, so that you can not only be a blessing to yourself, but be a blessing to so many others. Can I pray for you? Father God, I want to declare over them blooming, in their finances, blooming in their bodies, blooming in their health, blooming in their families, blooming in their careers, blooming in their relationships, blooming in their finances, blooming in their opportunities, blooming in their neighborhoods, blooming in their cities, blooming, God, to where people are noticing, God. I pray that a flood of favor is coming, God, and when that spotlight comes on them because they're blooming in a place that no one would think they could, that they'll be able to stand strong in you, God, because they are rooted and planted in love. They're rooted and planted in God. They keep you first in their finances, and they keep you first in their mind, and they keep you first in their time, God. We honor you, God, and you can never out honor God. When we honor you, you honor us so much more, and we are thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree with that, shout out amen. Was that all right for today?
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect.